Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
It's our second annual Reel to Reel right now, where we see God's truth embedded in movie clips. Somebody once said that fictional reality reflects God's reality. And another astute observer of the human heart said, a lot of guys and men and women who make Hollywood movies, who have no understanding of God, who make movies that become, you know, blockbuster hits, they have a sense of what the human heart is longing for. So most movies that become blockbusters somehow touch the human heart. And even though these people don't know God, they're speaking the language of God because, after all, who made the human heart? Yeah. So often, if you have your God goggles on, did y'all bring your God goggles today? If you have your God goggles on, in a movie made by people who don't even know God, you could see all kinds of God's inspiring truth. And so we did this last year in the month of August. We're doing it this month for 4 weeks as we look at four different movies to get at God's truth found therein, and we'll bring a bunch of scripture in as we go. Now, today I want to introduce you to a guy by the name of Walter Mitty. Who knows Walter Mitty? Anybody else? Great movie. If you haven't seen the movie, check this one out. But each week we're going to give away a little present, a gift card to, is it Kalamazoo 10, I think? Yeah, it is. Kalamazoo 10, and we got some, well, we were going to give those away, but those will stay here. So we got a gift card. Just kidding. Is there anybody in the room named Walter? What did you say? Did you say you want this?
I want candy.
Well, come here and get this, man. This is yours. Yeah. There you go. All right. There you go. So we'll give that away each week, three more weeks after today. So Walter Mitty, if you don't know him, I got to introduce him. He's a guy who loves stability. Everything in Mr. Mitty's life is secure, safe, predictable, and under control. He eats the same thing every morning. He wears the same outfit, although it's clean and a different one, but it looks the same every day. Takes the same route to work every day. Everything to Walter is routine, understandable, and controlled. And as we discover as the movie rolls on, this controlled, stable, safe living is deadly to his soul. Did you hear this? This stable, safe living, it's deadly to the soul. And so the movie kind of shapes out where Walter, this really boring, plain guy, begins living out these crazy fantasies in his mind. He might be walking down the street, and in the movie, something crazy and heroic happens, and you only find out it's just him standing there living out this daydream because he longs for something more than the stable and the safe. So here's the movie trailer that was released before the movie to kind of get you hooked in to Walter Mitty.
Jumping up and down the floor, my hat is an animal, and once there was an animal, it had a son that mowed the lawn. The sun was an okay guy. They had a pet dragonfly. The dragonfly ran away, but it came back with a story to say.
Thank you.
Do you have any cars available?
Yeah, we have a blue one and a red one.
I'll take the red one.
So Walter Mitty knows intuitively that life was meant to be more than safe. If you have a pulse, you'll never fulfill the purpose God has for you if you choose the safe life. Now, you see in the movie that Walter Mitty, the boring, staid, normal guy, something in him longs for adventure, and I want to suggest to you that you knew this longing for adventure when you were younger. I see it in my own children. We've had a fun summer. We've taken pretty much all of our vacation days this summer, and it began, well, even this past week when we're hiking out in this torrential downpour, it's ankle-deep, rushing water, lightning is crashing down all around, and it's just pitch black. Nick and Max, two 16-year-old boys, were as happy as could be. I actually stopped at one point and turned to them and said, "Y'all are crazy, because you're happy." And I affirmed, and I said, "Many people in your situation would be complaining that you're wet, cold, and it's dark." And they said, "This is the best we've ever had." There's something when we're younger, and I wonder if you remember it when you were younger, where you longed for the adventurous stuff of life. I saw it in Jake, our oldest son, too. I actually took him backpacking for his 18th birthday. He was 18 back in January. We went to Denali National Park back in June this year. Denali's up in Alaska. It's one of the largest and most remote national parks in the country. We flew up there, took a rental car, and then you get on this bus. There's no cars allowed in the national park, and you tell the bus driver, it's this rusty, bumpy old road, "I want to get off at section 38, and he pulls the bus out, and at section 38, he says, "Hey, here's section 38. You get off the bus, and you say, "I'll see you next week," and you walk into the wilderness. It's beautiful. Now, there was one day we were walking, and there's a river crossing. River crossings are mildly annoying because you got to stop, you got to put your sandals on and hold your boots, and you got to walk across the river. This river that we were crossing, Jake and I earlier watched a grizzly bear try to walk across this river. I'm not kidding. This was an amazing story. The river was so fast, it took the legs out from under the grizzly bear and took him down the river a little bit. So Jake said to me, 18-year-old boy, who knows what it is to long for adventure, "Dad, let's not cross the river. Let's go over the mountain." And I'm in my head thinking, this kid is crazy. It's going to take us a half hour to cross the river. It's going to take us hours to go over the mountain. And so what do you think I did? I went over the dumb mountain. Now, I've had 6 knee surgeries, and I said, I can go, but I had to go really slow. And there's more of me than there used to be, if you know what I mean. So I'm tired. I'm just like, oh, this kid's at the top of the mountain. I'm not even halfway up, and he's just clapping and laughing. He's like, "Dad, I found a way down." I'm like, "Wait there." So he probably has like a 3-hour nap by the time I get up there, you know. And my first thought to him was, how in the heck do you think we're going to get down? Because what it was loose rock about this steep, and it ended in a drop-off that was about 100 feet down onto rocky bottoms. I'm like, how in the heck are we getting down, Jacob? "Oh, Dad, we'll just slide on down our butts. We'll just kind of go down. And then when we get to the edge, we'll climb down." Now, I knew he wasn't drinking because we're in the middle of nowhere. But what I saw in the heart of this 18-year-old boy was a longing for the adventurous. Right? This week, while Max and I and his buddy Nick were in the Smokies, the rest of my family went down to my aunt and uncle in Indiana, and I heard a story of Zeke. I asked him if I could tell this story. Zeke's 14. He was driving my uncle's ATV around their massive farm lot. And I understand that Zeke had it going pretty fast, right? And he said to himself, what would happen if I'm going as fast as I can and I just turn it as sharp as I can, as fast as I can right now? Now, you might not want to look at this, Zeke, but how many of you think that's a good idea? So his sister tells me she was watching it with Zeke's buddy Alec, and Zeke's just flying down, and he turns it, and what does Zeke do? He goes flying off. Now, why would a 14-year-old boy do such a thing? Because there's wired in him, I think, from God, to live an adventurous, non-boring, safe life. We even see it in the girls. We were in Yellowstone earlier this year where our whole family went. We've been all over the great outdoors this summer. And our youngest, Elise, right there she is, she's about this tall. She comes running back. She'd gone to the bathroom by herself, you know, the outhouse, and came back. She said, "Mom, I saw a bison. Have you ever seen a bison? These things are 2,000-some pounds." And one time, Chris and I were backpacking 20 years ago. We got treed by one because it was really angry. We were in its spot. They're scary. She stood there and told us that she just sat and watched it walk right in front of her. Now, why would a 9-year-old girl stay in front of a massive bison that could have squashed her? Because something inside her was made for adventure. And then there's Reese, too. I mean, we're out in the woods of Yellowstone on this trail. It's a pretty long trail. And Reese did not walk the trail. She cartwheeled the trail. She can't go anywhere without cartwheeling. And, you know, I get tired watching, but, you know, why does a almost 11-year-old girl cartwheel all the time? Because God put in her a desire for adventure and excitement. So Walter Mitty understood, even though life was boring and tame, he understood that somewhere back in the beginning, he was made for an adventurous life, a life that was not simply controlled, contained, and routine. And I'm wondering if your life is marked more like the Crazy Link Children or Walter Mitty. I suspect all of you have memories of when you were a kid and you were crazy. How many of you right now can think of when you were really crazy and did that one dumb thing when you were a kid, right? How many? Yeah. Something happens to us as we get older, and it's called life. You know, we're born with that adventure, and sooner or later, we hear enough times, sit down, be quiet, sit still. Take this ADHD medicine. Calm yourself. Be quiet. You can't do that. That's not safe. Don't touch that. Don't run there. Don't walk over there. Something in life takes the adventurous nature of us and it makes us calm and collected. Life happens. Be safe. Boring. But as adults, who maybe once were adventurous, and maybe we don't even know it, there's a longing for something more. And I'm wondering if something is arising in you, a longing for something great and adventurous and purposeful. I saw Walter Mitty like 4 times in the theater because when I saw it, it inspired me to want more in my life and to not settle for safety. So our buddy Walter, he finally says, "Enough is enough. I'm done living a fantasy life and living a boring life." And he finally decides to go on an adventure, and it's a really crazy adventure that you see throughout the movie. And it's an adventure to go find the photographer, played by Sean Penn, the guy who did this in the movie. The photographer's name is Sean O'Connell. And Sean O'Connell, at last report, is in Nuuk, Greenland. And so Walter somehow gets to Nuuk, Greenland, and is on the verge of finding Sean O'Connell, the photographer. It's a crazy adventure, but he runs up against a roadblock. So far, to get to Nuuk, Greenland, the trip has been smooth and easy. But once he gets to Nuuk, Greenland, he realizes things get a little crazier. And what we see here in a second is a discussion Walter is having with this bearded, large, mildly inebriated helicopter pilot. Soon after they had a little scuffled, the two of them in this bar, and he's enlisting the help of this helicopter pilot to deliver this thing that he needs to get to Sean O'Connell, and, well, just see what takes place.
So,
you're a scrappy. You're a scrappy Duncan. So you're trying to find this guy?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm flying some radio parts out there in 5 minutes. He may still be on the boat.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe you could come with me.
Yeah, or maybe I could just, you know, call him on the boat phone.
The boat phone?
Yeah, the phone on the boat.
You mean the ship to shore?
Yeah, maybe I could ask him on the ship to shore.
The radio's broke. That's why I'm flying out there now.
Huh. You flying out right now?
Just gonna finish my beer.
The weather doesn't look so good.
It's not.
Looks like there's a storm moving in.
Yeah.
Brewing.
Yeah.
But you're just gonna finish your beer and then buy a machine?
Yeah. I'm kinda nervous about the storm. Just wanna get a couple of beers down.
Okay, I'm not gonna go with you.
Yeah. Whatever.
So in his life, again, fictional reality reflects larger reality, there comes a point where to continue on in the adventure, he has a choice to make. See, he can choose to keep it safe because he says the weather doesn't look good. No, it doesn't. Storm coming. And Walter says, it's a brewing. A storm is a brewing. Yep. There's a choice where he could stay safe. And quite frankly, the safe choice in the story makes more sense, right? I mean, who would want to jump on a helicopter with a mildly inebriated, albeit funny and large, bearded guy? It's not a smart choice to make. Sometimes it seems, are you listening? It seems smarter to do the safer thing. And so Walter says, I ain't coming. I'm not going with you. Choosing the easy way in life is a recipe. No, hang on. I'm going to say something profound. I want to make sure you're ready. Elbow your neighbor and say, listen, he's going to say something profound. Are you ready? Section whatever over here. You ready for something profound?
Yes.
Okay, I think you're a little more ready. Wake up, people. How about this section? Are you ready for something?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah. How about this group right here?
Yeah.
Balcony, are you ready?
No.
No. All right, everybody on the floor, turn to the balcony, point at them and say, wake up.
Yeah.
We know you go up there to sleep anyway, half of you people. Come on. Just kidding. Choosing the safe life is a recipe for stupidity. Choosing a safe life is a recipe for stupidity. We see this in the scriptures. We're going to King David's story, book in 2 Samuel chapter 11. In the spring, the Bible says, at the time when kings go off to war, this is a story about King David. In the spring, when kings go off to war, what should David be doing right now? Not a trick question. Going off to war. He's the king. It says, in the spring at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. You see, there was a purpose for David, and that was to fight for the freedom of God's people. And it was the spring after the colder winter months when kings got up and they went to defend it and protected their people. This is the king's job. At the time when kings go off to war, David took the easy life. And he played it safe because them wars, they're dangerous. You know that? People get hurt in wars. And after all, he was the king, so let's send somebody. Let's send Joab and all of the army, and I'm going to stay here. So David sent the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the ones who were besieging God's people. But David remained in Jerusalem. Now, part of this makes a lot of sense. As we've established, wars are dangerous. People get hurt. It makes sense for the king of the country to send somebody else to do the dirty work. Smart move, David. You know, David had arrived. He was no longer the little shepherd boy who needed to be out tending the sheep. He was king. Let's send the others to do the hard work, and I'm going to play it safe. Does anybody know what happened to David in the rest of this story? Anybody? No. Choosing to live the safe life is a recipe for stupidity. So one evening, back to the Bible, 2 Samuel 11. One evening, David got up from his bed. Now, let me just tell you, I'm a fan of a good nap. Amen. Especially Sunday afternoons, you know what I mean? But this is springtime when kings are off to war, right? And one evening, David gets up from his bed. See, there's a time for a nap, but there's a time to fulfill your purpose. And this was not time for a nap. This was a time for the man to be out there sweating and bleeding on behalf of the people because he had a pulse, therefore he had a purpose, and his purpose was tied up in the freedom of his people, but he chose the safe way. And so when everybody else was out there doing the hard, the difficult, the unroutine, the unsafe, he was playing it safe, taking a big old nap. And that one evening, he got up from his bed and he walked around on the roof of the palace. Somebody say, uh-oh. This is 2 Samuel 11. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. Somebody say, uh-oh. And the woman was very beautiful. Somebody say, uh-oh. So 2 Samuel 11 goes on to tell the story of this woman, Bathsheba, whose husband, Uriah, was in David's army, out fighting for the freedom of the people. David had many wives. He was stupid that way, but he had plenty of them. This was Uriah's one wife. The king sent a servant to get the woman. He seduced her, got her pregnant, tried to get her husband to go cover for him, if you know what I mean, wink, wink. But he said, I'm not going to go lay with my wife while my brothers are out fighting in the battle. I'm going to sleep at the threshold of your temple or your palace until you send me back. And so David gave Uriah a letter. And in it was a letter to Joab, the leader of the armies, and it said, put the bearer of this letter, Uriah, at the front of the battle and pull everybody back and leave him up there so that he will die in battle. And so David committed adultery. To make matters worse, he committed murder. And then he hid it for roughly 2 years in his life. Was this a good thing for King David to do?
No.
Was this a very stupid thing for King David to do?
Yes.
Now, if you got a pulse, we shouldn't be surprised that this guy did something stupid because all of us are prone to stupidity. Turn to your neighbor with your friendly finger and say, you're prone to being stupid. And I'm telling you, the safe and easy life is a recipe for being stupid. Because like David, all of you were made for an adventurous, purpose-filled life that sets other people free. And when you choose to live it safely, contained and controlled and routine, you're going to do something stupid and miss the purpose God has for you. There's more than safety. A bored person is prone to stupidity. Psychologists will tell you that addictions of all kinds, affairs, workaholism, angry men, all have a root in boredom. So last night, after Christy fell asleep, I Googled something. Thousand pastors were studied. Actually, this is a different study. Sorry, this is across the nation every year. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month, due to moral failure, spiritual burnout, or contention in their church. 50% of pastors' marriages will end in divorce. 80% of pastors feel unqualified and discouraged in their role. 50% are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could. 80% of seminary graduates 10 years after graduation will no longer be in ministry. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. Almost 40% of pastors polled said they had an extramarital affair since beginning their ministry. Now, all of these things had different... This was a psychological study I found late last night. It's kind of the light reading I do to help myself fall asleep. They had different causes and, you know, the studies behind it, but all of them had one thing in common. And that these pastors who go this way had forgotten the excitement of a life fulfilling God's purpose on planet Earth. They had all chosen, or all of them choose, routine and safety. And when these pastors in this national study choose routine and safety, depression, stupidity of all sorts arises, and life satisfaction goes down. See, what's true for pastors is true for you. You were not made for ho-hum, safe living. And I really think the Lord wants to use today's teaching to just shake us up, to say, wake up, stop playing it safe, and risk something in your life so that somebody could experience freedom who doesn't know freedom. So Walter is at a turning point in his life. The helicopter pilot has gone out, and his imagination kicks in. And that woman that he kind of was attracted to, you saw in the opening trailer, she comes magically in his mind and starts playing a song, and she inspires him to do something he's never done before. So watch this clip.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Hi. Hello, Nuke. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Okay. This one goes out to Walter Mitty. He knows why.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
So Walter has, clap for that. He has an epiphany and awakening And he found his adventurous spirit, the willingness to risk, and it ain't comfortable. It's not safe. And I'm wondering if God is saying, wake up, church, there's more for Kalamazoo by way of freedom, if God's people would just wake up. You see, throughout scriptures, I'm almost done here, nobody accomplished great things for God's kingdom by playing it safe. Everybody in the scriptures to accomplish something for God had to leave the shore and get in the helicopter and feel uncomfortable. Abraham, God said to him, hey, I know you've never heard of me before, but I'm speaking to you and I want you to go that direction. And Abraham said, wait a minute, that direction? God said, yes. What do I do over there? I don't know. Just walk right now. I'll tell you later. And he did. Guy by the name of Moses, who we looked at last month, encountered the strongest man on planet Earth, faced him down with a staff and a brother, and set God's people free. It wasn't safe. A woman by the name of Deborah, in a time and era where women were not upfront leaders, she led the Israelite army against an evil king that was slaughtering innocent people, and she took the way of unsafety and risk and brought freedom to planet Earth because of her work. David did the same. David was stupid in this time. God redeemed him, set him free, and when David risked, amazing things happened. A guy by the name of Peter in the New Testament stood up when no one else would and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he went on to risk his life for the kingdom of God to set many people free. Same with a guy named Paul or a woman named Lydia or a guy named Stephen or a young mom named Mary. Throughout the scriptures, people risked, lived lives of crazy, unsafe adventure, and amazing things happened. Now, let me just tell you one quick story. While I'm talking, my son Max is somewhere in here. Where are you at, Max? Oh, there you are. What up? Max texted me. Thank you for texting while I'm preaching. Appreciate that. He texted me two words, pig hunter. And this is helpful because it's going to land this sermon helpful. Because you weren't just made for backpacking adventures. You weren't just made to ride your bike down a hill really fast. Those are adventurous, fun things you do as a kid. Those things kind of set you up to do God big adventures. We met this guy this past week in the Smoky Mountains. It was late Monday night. We got to the shelter late at night, about 9:30, and we were setting up. One night we stayed in this kind of A-frame shelter. We're sitting down and just relaxing, and we see this little red headlight bopping down the trail. And I said, hey, plenty of room. Come on in. And he goes, I know there's plenty of room. We shined our light, and there's this 24-year-old guy carrying a shotgun, muscles out to here, arms out to here, walking down in the middle of the night with a backpack. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm hunting pigs. I'm like, I've never heard of this. I've been backpacking down here forever. He goes, I'm employed. And he went on to tell us that he's employed by the national park to go kill feral pigs. And so his job is to walk these trails. These trails are tough trails in the middle of the night with hardly any light, carrying a shotgun with one of those night ray goggles and shoot pigs in the middle of the night. He actually let us look through his little, laser scope thing with it, and it was unbelievable. And he went on to tell story after story of how impressive he was. Is that true, Max? Am I making this up? We all were impressed. This guy was tough. He's walking up and down mountains in the middle of the night with a shotgun shooting feral pigs that weigh 275 pounds. And yet, we ran into him the next day again, and we ate lunch with him, and we spent probably 2 hours with this guy. And I think he was this close, but yet he was this far. He understood that he was made for an adventure, and he had chosen an adventurous life, walking through the woods alone, carrying a shotgun, shooting pigs. That's adventurous. But he was this far from the actual mark because his life was meant for so much more than killing pigs. And he had kind of an empty sadness about him that we all kind of noted, like, man, that's kind of a bummer. And what he needs to understand and what would have been helpful is for him to see the story of Walter Mitty and connect it to God's truth that the life of adventure can be tapped into by shooting pigs in the middle of the night in the Smoky Mountains, but the real adventure is leaving the safety and comfort of normalcy and bringing God's kingdom to other people so that others can be free, because life isn't about killing pigs, as adventurous as that is. It's about the adventure of setting other people free who are in bondage on planet Earth. So adventure is fun. You know, tap into it. You might need to get out the old skateboard just to remind yourself what it is to be adventurous. Some of you are like, oh no, I'm not going to do that. You might need to go back to your adventurous thing. You might need to switch up your hobbies. I've seen some of your hobbies on Facebook. You sail up in the... I mean, some of you get that adventure part, right? Some of you might need to go back and just tap into the adventure, but you might need to connect the adventure on the surface to the deeper soul adventure of bringing people to the freedom of Jesus Christ. Will you risk? Or will you play it safe? Maybe.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.